Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have a mailbag episode. We're just going to go through some questions that we received on Instagram, and we're going to answer all those questions on episode 103 of the Pride Podcast.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 103 on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Blue Chew and Bet Online AG. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as usual, Malcolm and Pierre. How you guys doing today?
Woo!
Tyler, I'm still living that quarantine life, bro.
I got you. Nice. All right. You know, we had some...
Still?
We've had some nicer weather lately in Michigan, you know, had some sun, you know, it's been nice, you know, got a little tan out here, which has been nice. Malcolm, how's the weather been in Florida? I've been seeing a lot of rain, a lot of memes lately.
Yeah, it's been raining, but actually yesterday and today it hasn't rained.
No.
So okay. Yeah, it's been straight.
There you go. All right. Well, for today's episode, we are not doing another episode of Lions Feud. If you guys haven't checked out the last two, go check those out. Episode 100, episode 102. We did a Lions Feud, a Lions-based game show. So if you guys are interested in that, go check those out. But for today's episode, we got no guests for us. It's just us three. And we're going to be doing a mailbag. You know, we haven't done one of these in a great minute. So let's not waste any more time. Pierre's got the questions. He's going to read off the first... whatever, so questions, and we'll switch it off to Malcolm, and then we'll go off to me, and then you guys will get the pattern as we go. But Pierre, the show's yours right now, man.
Mail time. Because some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him! Got him!
All right, so the first question is from PacJones18, and these are coming from Instagram. So he said, who do you see as being the leaders and central players of our team in 5 to 10 years? So when I look at this team, I think of the young guys right now. Okuda, obviously, I mean, you hope he'd be the focal player in 5 to 10 years. You draft him at number 3, right? Tracy Walker. Kenny will be kind of like in his 30s. Stafford, if he's still around. Hawk, for sure. Stafford, if he's still around. Your quarterback is always the leader of your team. I don't know who else. Julian Okwara, I mean, DeAndre Swift. You hope those guys. Hopefully, Frank Ragnow, you know. So those are a couple young guys. Did I miss anyone?
You said Stafford in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, that's like, a...
I mean, what is he right now? 32? Like, 37? He could still be here.
Yeah, but could be.
If I look at it like this, though, I mean, this is a little off the kind of the question, but if it's a bad year for the Lions next year, let's say new regime change, let's say Bob Quinn, Patricia, everybody's out. Let's just say it's a bad year, hypothetically. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Hypothetically, it happened, let's say.
Why would you think that, though?
I'm just saying, you know, you got to think long term. I could see a scenario where the Lions, you know, draft the quarterback, whoever the new GM or coaches, whatever, wanting a new quarterback, and then, you know, starting a little rebuild, maybe not a little rebuild, a full-on rebuild, and, you know, just going on with what they have already, and then, you know, going a little bit younger. But that's why there's a lot on the line this year, a lot to determine. But, no, I think you kind of knocked out, you know, most of the guys that, you know, will be long-term plans, guys like DeAndre Swift, guys like TJ Hockenson, Jeff Okuda, you know, mainly any of those guys from the 2018 class, including Kenny Galladay from the 17 class. So, you know, most of those guys from 18, 19, and obviously this year's draft. So that's the plan, you know, you hope at least. You know, you
maybe
don't want,
Deshaun Hand, hopefully, if he's healthy. Yeah,
you don't want no 2015 classes where none of those guys are around anymore. So,
yeah, you don't want that.
Because, you know, we're 5 years now, and now one of those guys are on the team. So, yeah, we don't want any of that. So, you know, if we can get, like, 7 to 10 of those guys, that's a win, 100%.
Right. Yeah. All right. The next question is from Dylan underscore Hackney 100. What's the worst and best record you could see us having this year? Oh, wow.
What's your floor?
Okay, I'll probably say, like, 4-12, like if they get injuries early in the year and they continue to mount 4-12, if they stay healthy, they win games, 12-4, 13-3.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is that if Stafford does go down, I mean, that's the worst case scenario. They're not winning much games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, like a 4-14, what is it, 4-13?
4-12. It's not that added game yet this year.
Okay. So 4-12.
And then what's the ceiling?
Man, my ceiling for this team is 11-5.
Okay.
The thing is, if they're playing the way they're supposed to play, I mean, I think they can hang with everybody on their schedule. Now, it all comes down to, can they close out every game on their schedule? So that's the question.
Yeah.
It's a big question every year. My floors, I'm very similar with you guys. I could see like a repeat of last year if they, you know, deal with a lot of injuries. 3-13, 4-12, somewhere around that range. I agree with that as a ceiling. I don't see that happening, though. I really don't. I think that would be if everything went wrong again. I don't see that happening with Patricia year three. The ceiling for this team, you know, I've got to go like 10-6, maybe 9-7. I kind of see somewhere in the middle of that. We'll get into another question when we do our record prediction, but somewhere around that range, I would say 10-6 or 9-7. I think if everything goes well, I think the talent's solid to compete with like almost everybody in the league. It's just, could they close it out? I don't know that yet. So, yeah, I'd probably say 10-6 is the highest ceiling they can, you know, this team could reach.
Like, by ceiling, like, not like record prediction, like if everything goes perfectly, you think it's 10-6? Really?
I think it's 10-6. I don't think we're like I don't think we're a top league in the team right now. I don't think we compete with the Niners, and I think we can compete with them in a game. I don't think we compete with them record wise, like with the Niners, who's some other Saints, you know, just those top teams. I just don't think we're on that level yet, to be totally honest with you. You know, when I think of like a ceiling, a high ceiling, I think of those teams. When you say like 13, 14 wins, I think of like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens. I don't see the Lions in that category yet. I think they're, you know, if we had to put tiers, I think they might be a tier under, or maybe even two tiers under that, honestly.
All right. I was just thinking kind of like, because the Packers, like, were they really, like, they won 13 games last year, right? But were they really a 13-team win? That's kind of why I thought it was like, if everything goes right, like the defense balls out, the offense like does their thing. That's kind of how I thought of the question. But like, I agree with you. Like, I don't think they'll go 13-3 or 12-4. Probably more like 9-11 wins. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we got record predictions in this thing, so we'll save that. All right, what's next?
So these are two questions. We'll combine them into one. It's from Tink Days with a Z. Do you think the Lions should try and sign Jadeveon Clowney or Everson Griffin? Clowney wants to play for a good team, apparently, so the Browns have an offer for him, but he doesn't want to play for Cleveland. And then Everson Griffin makes a lot of sense to me because he could play end, he could play tackle. It's just on his what he's asking for. It depends what he's asking for. I mean, if it's like a one-year deal with incentives, I'm down for it. But I don't think Clowney would want to play for Detroit.
Okay. What do you understand with this, Malcolm?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not 100% sure if Clowney would want to. I mean, you turn down Cleveland, and there's a lot of talent there. I don't see a reason that he would want to jump up to play for Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. So I don't know.
I definitely agree with that. I wonder about E.G., Everson Griffin.
Like Pierre said, it could be a fit. He could play inside, could play outside. It'll be a good pickup, man. I mean, I think we're missing another piece, and I think they're gonna make another signing before training camp. But I think probably during training camp they'll make another signing. Hopefully it'll be Griffin.
Okay, so you're high on Griffin, obviously.
Yeah, I really want either him or Mike Daniels.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. For Jadeveon Clowney, I think personally it's a better fit for the Detroit Lions, but you know, attracting Jadeveon Clowney to Detroit. I personally don't see that happening as well. But if we're talking fit, I think he fits perfectly in that jack role for this team. You know, right now you have unexperienced guys. Austin Bryant had limited snaps last year. Julian Okwara, obviously a rookie. So, you know, that jack, and you obviously released Devon Kennard. So that jack spot right now is very unexperienced, has potential to be good, but, you know, we just don't know yet. So Jadeveon Clowney, hypothetically, I think makes more sense. I just don't see the attraction of Jadeveon Clowney, like Malcolm was saying, to, you know, lose his socks to play for Matt Patricia, who won three games, if he just denied a team that won seven games last year in Cleveland and has improved a lot this offseason as well. So I would prefer a Jadeveon Clowney before Everson Griffin, but I don't see either of them happening, to be totally honest with you. You did mention, you know, Griffin could play some three tech, but I look at him more as an end, and I think they kind of have their end already that they paid last year in Trey Flowers. And, you know, if Detroit is willing to go to a more multiple front, play maybe a little more 4-3 up front, you know, have two defensive ends. We haven't personally seen that, I don't think. But, you know, if they want to have two ends, like a Flowers and Griffin on one side of the other, you know, that could be very scary. But Patricia in New England, I've never seen two hands in the dirt, you know, multiple times. So I don't know the fit there'd be, but maybe at the three tech, that'd make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you could, like, slide Flowers inside. Like, you could move them around, interchange them. But, I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't think, like, I don't think they'll sign him. I don't know. I feel like, I think he'll end up going back to Minnesota in the other day. But we'll see.
Yeah,
I think he goes to a team where they're going to put his hands in the dirt and he's going to be on the end spot. I just don't see him wanting to take a full-on three-tech role or something like that.
All right. Malcolm, now to you with the questions.
Oh, okay. So this question is from it's from Instagram 164.
That's the official Instagram page, by the way, if you're wondering.
Okay. His question is, make a record prediction.
Okay. I'll start off with this. So I said their ceiling is 10-6, and I said their basement is around that 4-3 win, and I said I don't see them going either of them. I'll go in the middle. I'll go with 7-9 this year. A solid 7-9, improving from their 3-win last year, and Patricia fighting to keep his job potentially, maybe. So I'll say 7-9.
Seven and nine. They getting fired, bro.
Probably.
Wow. Pierre.
If they go 7-9, yeah.
You go. I want to see my last. You go next.
Me, I have them. I have them bouncing back. I'm really high on Swift, and I think Stafford with the running game is a very, very, very dangerous offense. And I think this is the year that we finally get a running game going. I think this is the year. I know I said this last year. I know I said this the year before.
And the year before.
And the year before that. But I actually feel like we actually have three running backs that could carry the load. And I really think we have that right now. I don't think we've been in this position in a while that we had three guys could honestly carry the rock. So with Stafford and running game, I see the defense being middle of the pack. I see this offense with Stafford with a running game and the weapons that we currently have. I can see them being a top five offense. So with that being said, I do see them closing out games like they were unable to do last year, because even when Stafford wasn't in the game, when he got hurt, they were still in almost every single game last year. So this year with the healthy Stafford, a running game, I do see them closing it out. I do see them going 11-5.
Woo! 11-5.
11-5. Give me the division, baby. Ooh. 11-5.
I mean, the division is wide open.
I would pull out right now.
11-5. Give me the division, man.
I mean, the Packers didn't really improve that much. I mean, you could like make an argument that they actually like got worse.
Awesome key pieces.
Like they never fixed their run defense either, bro. Like their run defense was awful, and they never fixed that. The Vikings, they got some young guys. They're kind of like retooling their roster. They got worse. The Bears
are the Bears.
The same. The Bears are kind of the same. I mean, they got Foles. Is Foles better than Trubisky? Yeah, but is he like a franchise quarterback?
I don't think so.
So,
what do you got though?
Okay, I'm gonna. So I've been thinking about this. I hate making predictions. I really hate it. But, so the Lions, like before Stafford got hurt last year, they were a top three passing attack. their vertical offense was going. Bevo was, like, thriving with it. And then, like, he got hurt, and then guys on defense got hurt, and then everything just kind of, like, went to shit. But I could see, like, a 9-7, 10-6.
Playoffs?
I mean, we just talked about the division, but wild card?
17 playoffs this year.
A wild card? Well, let's say 10-6 wild card.
Okay. I mean, I hope you guys are definitely right. I will say this, though. I agree with you guys' take on the division, though. I don't think the Packers improved very much, and I think that 13-3 was overachieving, most definitely last year. I don't think they're a 13-3 team.
Yeah, overrated. Overrated.
Vikings as well. They had a very nice draft. I'm not going to doubt their draft, but you got to account. Xavier Rhodes sucked ass, I understand. But they lost essentially every corner they had on their roster. Rhodes is gone. Trey Wendt is in Cincinnati now. And both their corners are rookies. They have
Mackenzie Alexander, too. They lost him, too.
And Mackenzie Alexander, yeah. So they have Mike Hughes, who they drafted, I believe, 2 years ago.
Bolton Hill, I think.
Yeah, and then they got their guys they drafted this year. They have Jeff Gladney, and they got Cam Dantzler. Solid corners. I like them. But like to expect them to start day one and, you know, make a huge contribution, that's a huge take. And the guy we mentioned earlier, you know, this is a big guy. I mean, Everson Griffin, you know, he's been a beast for them on their defensive line, you know.
Right.
You think he might go back there, but as of right now, he's not a Minnesota Viking. So, you know, their defense is new. It's different. So it's going to be interesting to see how it is. Captain Kirk, you know, he lost Stephon Diggs, another big target. Yes, they got Justin Jefferson, but, you know, that's another team. Like, you know, it's a lot of question marks. You know, we got to see what they'll do. And then the Bears, you know, yeah, they got Robert Quinn, who's a nice addition to that defensive line. They already had a very nice defense in general, so the offense has been holding them back. They didn't really do anything to improve the offense. Same running backs, same wide receivers for the most part, and then they got Big Dick Nick. So, you know, we'll see what they are. I don't think they're very much better. I don't think they're very much worse. So
wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're not going to speed past like you just say that.
That's his nickname. Big Dick.
I got no comment. No comment.
You just can't be going around just saying, giving another grown man a nickname like that.
Yeah, I would never do that, but that's Tyler, bro.
Wait a minute.
Philly, man. Give him that nickname.
Like Kevin Hart, you got to say pineapples after that shit, man. You can't just... You gotta say pineapples. You can't just say that, man. You gotta give a whole word. Okay, all right.
We'll go a little more holy here. Saint Nick. They acquired Saint Nick.
There we go, man.
There we go. We'll go a little more holy. But no, they didn't really much to improve. So I don't think this division's as good as it was in the past. I think it's been one of the weaker NFC Norths in the past. I think since me watching ever as a football fan, I've never seen NFC North this like mediocre.
I agree. So, like, the top, I feel like Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay all have a chance to win. I just don't have that much confidence in the Bears.
But like, are you scared of any teams this year? Like, I'm not scared of any of these teams.
No, man. That's what I told you. If this team is majority healthy, we have a shot to win. We're going to be in every game if Stafford's healthy. So it all depends if can they close out. Last year, they had that problem closing out. 2016, there were that comeback team that always came back and beat everybody. Can they get that magic again? Can they be that team that fourth quarter drive, fourth quarter wins, you know, closing out games? Can they be that team again? They were that team in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it in 2020? That's the question.
Yeah, they were that team in 2014 a lot as well. So
yeah, I mean, like all these games that we should have won, they could have closed out. Even the tie, that was a game that we should have closed out. Couldn't close out. End up tying. Green Bay couldn't close out. Chiefs couldn't close out.
Well, that Green Bay game was like...
We couldn't close out. We had a lead. We couldn't close out. Chiefs couldn't close out.
I mean, you can make the argument they could have very easily lost a lot of the games they won as well, too. Chargers game. Chargers game. All the games from 2016.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but good teams, they find a way to win.
Exactly.
Even at moments like that, they find a way to win. A lot of games are close.
That's what I'm saying.
But it all depends on, do you have the will to close it out?
There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners at BetOnline. NASCAR is back, and BetOnline has hundreds of games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter in for free. And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solutions. Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to a whole nother level. They got the same ingredients as in Viagra and the Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work even faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew Online Physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order is shipped straight to your door in a discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order for free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. So let's go on to the next question. All right. So this question is from Raphael DeLion. His question is, do you think the defensive scheme will be better this year or more of the same no blitzing man? What do you think, Tyler?
Start off. I want to believe, I hope that they could generate more pressure just from their front four. I don't know if I can say that on the bat right now, but you know, we have a new defensive coordinator, obviously. Patricia is the defensive-minded guy, and he usually is the guy that's calling the plays. But we are getting another philosophy, another mind in there. We don't have Mr. Bologna there anymore. We have Corey Udlin now. So maybe, you know, Corey Udlin not necessarily is calling the plays, or maybe not necessarily it's his defense, but maybe he adds a little touch to his defense. Maybe he adds a little, you know, that little magic to that defense that Patricia needed. You know, maybe Bologna wasn't cutting it. He was just a puppet. But, you know, maybe Corey Udlin could add a little touch from what Philly was doing. Maybe they could blitz a little more. So I don't think it's going to be exactly the same defense as last year. I think it's going to be a little different. I think it's going to have a little Corey Udlin touch. So I don't know what that touch is yet, though, because, you know, we don't really know. He's never been a defensive coordinator. He's only been a DB's coach all his career for the most part. So I want to say it's going to be a little different this year. I think it's going to be a little different. I don't think Patricia's a complete dummy. He's just going to ignore that what wasn't working last year and just, you know, say, let's do it again. You know, let's rush two. Let's rush three consistently. I think they're going to change it up a little bit. At least it's my hope. So I'll leave it at that.
What about you, Pierre?
I think it's going to be like a little twist to it, too. Udlin comes from Philly, and you know Philly under Schwartz, they blitzed a lot. Obviously, Patricia won't blitz that much, but I think they'll add some more blitzing packages. Also, I think the coverage-wise, they got better. They got a lot better. Adding Harmon back there. Like, as a free safety, playing Walker is natural position, the strong safety spot. Having Will Harris as that third safety, you know, and then Trufant and Dakuda are an upgrade over Slay and Melvin, in my opinion. So you got to upgrade there, and then you got now Amani, like, as a backup guy instead of, like, him starting right away. So I think they'll be better, and I think plus they also added speed off the edge. When did we see that, bro? Like, Okwara, they added some speed. So we didn't really, like, see as much as that.
Yeah, that's where my optimism is, where I could hope that maybe they can get some more pressure off the edges, more off the front four, you know, maybe not have to send as many blitzes. But, you know, we need some more pressure just from the front four in general. But, you know, if we can blitz and, you know, generate some more pressure, you know, blitz Jared Davis every here and there, that's always good. So I think it'll be a little different this year. I don't think it's going to be the same thing we've seen all last year. So
they also added Collins, some more athleticism to the front seven.
Yeah. He could do everything.
They added Jaron Curse. He's also a safety. He could do a little of everything. Cover, play deep, play in the box. He's done a little of everything. So I think it's going to be a little different, but like it's still going to be a hella man. I'm not expecting the man coverage to go away. Just because man is, like, hard to beat when you have, like, good players, you know?
And they got the players to, you know, everything, you know, they've drafted. They've drafted guys that who will play man coverage. Desmond Trufant.
They got, like, the DBs. They got the DBs to play man. Yeah, they're loaded at DB.
Jeff Okuda's a man corner at Ohio State. Right. Desmond Trufant was a man corner. Not always in Atlanta, but he could play man with the speed. And, you know, he's
Cover three, like, remember, who was it? What was that corner's name? Michael Jackson? He pretty much said, like, cover three is very similar to man because you're just kind of running. Like, you're, I don't know how to explain it. So the corner is basically just backpedaling in his zone.
Yeah, you just got one area. You're just playing deep.
Yeah, you're playing deep.
That's it.
Like,
that's,
man, you kind of, like, play. Like, you got to play, like, the slants, the post. But it's really similar.
Technique-wise, it's different.
Yeah, right.
The experience, from experience, technique-wise, is different. Play a zone, you're facing the cornerback. If you're playing man, your back is away. Yeah, so that's just a little bit different of technique, but he'll be all right. He played man before. He knows how to play man.
He's a veteran.
He's a vet, yeah.
Yeah. I think Patricia actually has the pieces that he can do what he wanted to do. So the way he wanted to make this defense and the way he wanted to attack quarterbacks and attack, you know, other teams' offense, I think he has the pieces right now to do that. Last year, I think he wanted to do that. But, I mean, we got to be realistic. He didn't have his defensive line healthy all year. He never had his full team, his full defensive line. Either two guys were out or, you know, you're losing a guy. Trey Flowers is hurt. You know, he never had his guy. So if he has his full defensive line, I think he could put pressure on the quarterback in different ways. I don't see them blitzing a lot because New England doesn't blitz like that. But they're going to find a way to generate pressure. They'll find a way setting. I see them setting four at the quarterback, but in varieties, like they might send two linebackers and two edge and might pull somebody else. So it's going to be different, but I don't see them doing a lot of blitzing at all.
And another thing is, that kind of hold them back last year was buying in. You know, we saw guys like Darius Slay were not fully bought in. Quandre Diggs, you know, we had some guys sit out during training camp but OTAs, and, you know, we're considering sitting out training camp for contracts. Now we got guys that know what to expect. You know, guys that were in New England, obviously, they know what Patricia's going to bring to the table already. And obviously, with all this coronavirus going on, you know, facilities are closed down for the time being. We know what these guys already, most of them at least, know what to expect already. We've got a lot of guys that have already been in a very similar scheme. So I think Patricia just got the puzzle pieces he's been looking for. It's just, could he make it work? So that's going to be interesting.
Yep.
All right. So this next question is coming from Shudith_Shakiri, and I hope I said his name right. If I said it wrong, I apologize. His question is, any updates on Golden or any other free agents?
So he's meaning Marcus Golden right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping he means Marcus Golden. Pretty sure you're not talking about Golden Tate.
Nah, Tate's with the Giants.
Marcus Golden's a former Giant.
Yeah, so like the most recent thing with Marcus Golden was, like, there was a report earlier, was it about a month ago?
In the draft, yeah. A month ago.
During the draft, yeah. It said, like, the Lions have shown interest in Marcus Golden. That's all there is right now. All is quiet. Apparently, his asking price is still too high. So that's why he remains unsigned. And then about other free agents, Mike Daniels did say he's interested in returning to Detroit.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if the interest is mutual. I would guess it's mutual, but they just probably need to find the right number. Yeah, maybe. Yes, needs to pass his physical. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Obviously, with all this virus, it is kind of holding back some guys, like, you know, Cam Newton, maybe Mike Daniels, who was injured for most of the year with the foot. So, you know, I think once facility starts to open up a little bit, you might see some of these guys start to fly off the board a little bit. And, you know, maybe we'll address another need in the free agency. But as of right now, it's very slow. Not very much news going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pulling for Mike Daniels, man. I really feel like he has some unfinished business here.
I'd be down for that, man. We need another three tech very badly to go in that rotation with Nick Williams and Deshaun Hand. So I would really like that, actually. I think he's one of the better options.
Yeah, no. I really feel like a lot of fans, like, they're pretty bummed out on his performance last year. So a lot of fans are probably like, ew, no, you know. But he was hurt all year. And that dude battled out and still
played. Even some of the games that he played. I mean, probably didn't notice him playing, but he played some games. hurt. He was hurting. The dude was in pain. So if he's healthy, man, I think he deserves a shot to just show Detroit and the fans what he's able to do, man.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Mike Daniels would make sense. Marcel Darius is another name that's been thrown around. Yep. That could make sense. And like the guy he mentioned, Marcus Golden, I would actually love that fit a lot. Add some experience to that Jack linebacker, 10 sack number last year in New York. You know,
yeah.
That'd be nice.
So, thing is with Golden, though, his issues are like the same as Okwara, not really good in run defense.
Yeah.
So that's just – but
he can get pressure. That's what we need.
He could get pressure, yeah. If you could pressure the quarterback, yeah, just not at $10 million a year. No thanks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they do have the cap to do it, you know, technically. Yeah. So
Decker and Galladay extensions. And, yeah. You know.
I'm just saying, if we want to think like all in this year or like go a little more in this year, then we technically have the cap. But
We'll see.
So this question is coming from Zed_Bazzy04. His question is, does Patricia have what it takes to become the best coach in the NFC North? Pierre.
Does he have what it takes? I mean, like, I don't know, because like Matt LaFleur was 13-3 his first year. Mike Zimmer, I mean, he's been really consistent in Minnesota. Like, they've been really consistent down there in Minnesota. I don't think they've really had a bad, like a really sucky year. They've been good or average in Minnesota. With Patricia, he has to prove himself. I haven't really seen much from him yet. I mean, we've saw two losing seasons from him. So right now, I'm gonna say no. Just because, like, it's not fair to Zimmer. I think Zimmer right now is obviously the best and Simon close. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well. I'm just not a big fan of the defensive philosophy and the defensive scheme. I just don't – I've mentioned it before. I just don't think there's enough players in the league that just fit what Patricia wants to do necessarily. I mean, it could work. It could happen. I'm just going to say no. I'm going to leave it short.
Like, I think he could be a great coach, but, like – right now, to say he's the best in the NFC North, no way.
Well, he says, does he have the chance to become? That's what I'm saying.
The chance to become.
I mean, Mike Zimmer is still in this division. Mike Zimmer is a hell of a coach.
Yeah, that's true. But this is the thing. What happened if Matt Patricia wins the division next year? Everybody can look at Matt Patricia like he's the Detroit Lion God.
It's possible.
If he wins, that would be crazy. If he wins the division, like, that would be the talk of the town if he got the division. But
I told you guys my record prediction. I said 7-9, so I don't think that's the best in the NFC North. So yeah, I'm gonna say no.
All right, go ahead, Tyler.
All right, am I reading some questions? All right, this question is coming from Austin Flunker. I hope I'm saying that right. Faulkner. Okay, there you go. All right, his question that he's asking is, this a make or break year for Kerryon Johnson? If DeAndre Swift lives up to the hype, could he start? I want to start off with this one. So, Kerryon Johnson, I do believe it is a make or break year somewhat. If he gets hurt, I think he's done. I think he's done with Detroit. If he gets placed on IR and has to miss, you know, a bunch of weeks, I think he's done. If the starting role for DeAndre Swift, though, I think it's going to be what Detroit has done with their wide receivers in the past. Have like three wide receivers. It could be like one of those guys goes off one day, you know, like one day it's GT, one day it's Marvin Jones, one day it was Anquan Boldin back in the day, or Kenny Galladay, whatever. And I think we're going to see a little backfield of what like San Francisco ran. You know, they had three running backs that all contribute every game for the most part. One guy had the hot hand one day. One day was Tevin Coleman. One day was Burrito. One day it's Raheem Mostert. I think we could see that kind of happened in Detroit. I think they have their two right now for sure, with DeAndre Swift and Kerryon. And then I think Bo Scarborough is another third piece, is a nice addition to that list. So I think, you know, limiting the snaps of Kerryon Johnson, not making him the guy, the number one guy that's going to take 20 carries a game, or, you know, just counting on him to take most of the carries, I think that could help Kerryon Johnson a lot. But if he still gets hurt, even with DeAndre Swift and with Bo Scarborough, then yeah, I think his time in Detroit is up.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they say 30 years, your make or break year. This is his third year. Yes, I mean, he hasn't been healthy his first year. Second year wasn't healthy. This year, yes, he has to be healthy.
Yeah,
and like play at least like 13 games. You know, like not miss like half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're talking about keeping Kerryon healthy. I just don't see a scenario where Kerryon is healthy. I mean, you look at Kerryon's career. And you think that we ran him to the ground. I mean, I could count on one hand how many times he had 20 carries in the game. I mean, we were limiting him already. So it's not like, oh, we limited carry on to 15 carries. He was getting 15 carries.
Right.
It's not like he was getting 20, 30 carries a game. He was getting 15, 12. We were keeping him safe, and he was getting hurt. So, yeah, he has a lot of proving to do. That if he could be even a number one or number two, and if he could stay healthy, I think he's a hell of a back. And, again, he's a hell of a back, but can he stay healthy? That's the question.
Could you guys see this potentially? So we saw some games in San Fran. Obviously, they paid Tevin Coleman around $5 million a year. And we saw some games where he got like 5 carries a game, 4 carries a game. I could see that happening in certain games if it just a matchup favors DeAndre Swift and he's hot as hell. I could see Kieran having a game where he only gets 4 to 5 carries, and it's kind of taken off some load off of him, and not, you know, it's almost a week off for him, almost a bye week for him. And I think that's going to benefit him a lot, because I think there's going to be some matchups that they're going to favor DeAndre Swift so much more than Kerryon Johnson, and they're just going to roll with DeAndre Swift, and maybe Scarborough is the short back or for like short line situation. We saw some games with Tevin Coleman like that. I could see that happening in Detroit with Kerryon this year.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know if they would, though. It's just like,
I mean, if you ask me who's a better runner, who's a better pure runner, I'm going with Swift.
I'm agreeing with you.
So. Yeah, Swift is a better, I mean, running between tackles, making guys miss. He's faster. You know, he's a bigger play option, and I honestly think he's a better runner. So, yeah, Kerryon is going to have a lot of games like he had in Miami to kind of win that starting job, because Swift, he's going to bring it. And you can watch his training videos. Swift is an animal.
Yeah. All right. This question's coming from Aaron_285. He just has a very simple question. Who's a surprise cut you guys could see?
I have one. I don't know if it's really a surprise. Say Nick Bawden, just because, like, they signed a fullback, undrafted guy. I forgot what his name.
Luke Sellers, I believe, or Stellers.
Thank you.
Might be wrong on that. I think it is, though.
And they also have Nada, who they could use at fullback. And Bawden didn't also have the best year last year. So I'll say Nick Bawden for now. It could be a surprise cut. I know you guys have a name.
His name is Luke Sellers, by the way. I was right.
Thank you. Wow, great, good job, Tyler. I was like drawing up. Who's the guy?
I actually have a guy that could be a surprise cut. I'm not saying he's gonna get cut. I just think it could be a surprise cut. And it's a guy who's actually in the transition right now with switching positions. And it's Jamal Agnew. And the reason why I say that is because I honestly feel like the reason why he's making the effort to, or they're making the effort to switch his position, is to save his job in Detroit. Because he has to, I honestly feel like Jamal Agnew, even though he's an all-pro returner, I do think in order for him to make the roster, he has to be able to do something else. He can't just be a returner and land a spot on the roster. I see him as a liability, as a DB. So I think that's why they're making the change to wide receiver and see if maybe he could, you know, do something on that end.
Yeah.
But Jason Huntley is a guy who I think is going to, I honestly feel like he could make the roster because of his ability to be that McKissick role and to be that role, that Percy Harvin type role where you could use him in the backfield, you could slide him out wide. And what can he also do? He could return kicks and return punts at an elite level in college. Now, can he transition to the NFL like that? We don't know. But in preseason, if he brings back a couple kicks, everybody's going to say, oh, shit, what do we do now? If he brings back a couple kicks in preseason and he's able to do what he's able to do on offense as well, Jamal Agnew's job it could be at risk. So, yeah, he could be my surprise cut.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you on this one, actually. I don't have another guy besides Jamal Agnew right now on my list. And it's kind of the reasons you brought up, you know, and it shows how low they are on him as a defensive back, because you look at that nickel room right now. You got Justin Coleman, obviously. But who's there? Who's there after Justin Coleman in the nickel room? You got
D-Virgin.
I was going to say D-Virgin? Like, that's how low they are on him as a defensive back.
It's scary. Like, when I seen him line up, when he played DB for us, and he played the nickel for us, every time he lined up there, my heart was just pounding.
Exactly.
Like, and that was preseason. I was like, oh, snap, he's out there. That's not good.
This is preseason.
Like, my heart was pounding. So, I mean, I don't know, man. So, yeah, definitely, I think he could, he might be able to do something as a wide receiver, so that's gonna be interesting.
And but that's the thing. I don't see him as a much better. I think the wide receiver room is stacked. I don't think he's better than Marvin Hall. I don't think he's better than Geronimo Allison. I don't think he's obviously beating Quintez Cephas in a job, because that's not happening. And then if he's just a little better than Jason Hundley, and Jason Hundley could do that McKissick role, play running back, line up in the slot, could, you know, just a little, you know, a little downgrade to Agnew in the kick return or punt return game, then what is Jamal Agnew's spot on this team? If Hundley could do it at a solid enough level, then there's no need to keep Jamal Agnew in the roster. Then you could just have a guy like Jason Hundley, because you have him activated on game days, more of a use. You know, if someone gets down, Jason Hundley is more of a use to the team than Jamal Agnew. Like you mentioned, you don't want to see Jamal Agnew on the field unless it's for punt returns or kick returns.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree with you there, Tyler, just because Agnew can play on all three, in all three phases, right? He can play on special teams, returner. Mm-hmm. He's also his speed. Like, he could be a good gunner if he like learns how to like on special teams. Like, he could possibly do. He has speed, right? And then also in an emergency situation, say you have a ton of guys go down, he could come in and step in and play. Not ideal, but I mean, it's better than having like.
That's my argument. I think Jason Hundley is better emergency situation than Agnew.
Yeah, he's a better
at corner. Talking about corner.
I'm talking about corner.
Wait a minute. Wait. There's no situation that Jamal Agnew is your emergency corner. There's no situation that Jamal Agnew is your emergency corner. Like that shouldn't even be a thought.
Yeah, he might be the one, but that's not an ideal situation.
Emergency nickel, maybe.
Yeah. If he was on the outside. If you have like, I'm just saying, like, if you have a ton of like injuries in a game, like you could like.
I'd switch to safety.
It's not ideal, but he could come in and play corner for you, right?
I'd switch to safety there before I do Agnew.
Yeah.
I think Agnew could play.
I mean, you got to think about it. Who else we brought? We brought in that dude Roberts.
Daryl Roberts.
We have Diversion. All those guys are better than Agnew as a corner.
They also brought in Tony McCray from the Bengals.
Tony McCray.
I mean, he's not good at corner.
No, he's not. He's another one that's scary at corner.
He's a special teams dog.
Yeah, he's another one that's scary if you line him up at corner. Like, but I just don't. His job could be the thing is, this is going to be the key right now. If Jason Hundley returned a couple punts or kick returns in preseason, the question's going to be flying. I'm telling you, the question's going to be flying off. Is Jamal Agnew's spot locked for Detroit?
And I don't think he even has to be better than Jamal Agnew. I think he just has to be like similar to Jamal Agnew, or a little like worse than Jamal Agnew, I guess you could say. Like, I don't think he has to be better than Jamal Agnew. Like, I think if he could do more than Jamal Agnew, then I think we could be looking at a position change there, where we could be looking at guys that are more versatile. What does Bob Quinn always talk about? Versatility. So
right. And so Agnew could play on all three phases. That's what I'm saying. Offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's just my argument about that.
That's fine.
He could. But the thing is, he's an all-pro kick returner. So, I mean, it's going
to
make it
difficult. He's like the best returner in the league, bro. He was the only one last year, I think, to have a kick and a punt return. Like, the only player.
I know, but if he's not bringing something else to the team, man.
And if Jason Hundley is a part of the offense and he could play kick returner, then like I'd take Hundley.
Well, we got to see Hundley though. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
I know. That's what I said.
We know that. Yeah. Like I said, the question is going to the argument and the battle, all this stuff is going to happen if he returns a couple kickoffs or a punt return in preseason. That's when everybody's going to lose their mind and say, oh, we don't need Agnew. What's the point of having Agnew? You know, then that's when you're going to get the controversy and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but exactly. We don't know what to expect. Jason Hundley came from New Mexico State.
Yeah,
I mean,
it could be bad.
this guy could maybe not even be good in the NFL. That's exactly. very possible. But I'm saying is, if he could translate his college to the NFL, it's scary for Jamal Agnew. Yeah. I'll just say that. But I'm not going to say that. Because
it's not a good scenario for him.
But I'm not going to say that because we don't know that yet. Because we haven't seen him yet in the NFL level. Right. Let's move on, though. All right. This question is kind of similar. This is more of a fun question. All right. This is from Mark_the_shark313. Who is your all-time favorite lion? And I already know your answer.
My all-time favorite lion, you probably think it's Barry Sanders. Probably think it's Calvin Johnson. Nope. It is the original toe drag swag. Number 13 for Detroit Lions is Nate Burleson. All-time favorite lion. I don't care about stats. I'm talking about repping the city. I'm talking about always having our back. Nate Burleson is my favorite lion all time. It just is what it is, man. To this day, he's a, he He's looking out. He's always looking out.
Can we get the audio from the 2018 draft calling the carry-on pick?
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's put it in here.
Oh,
let's
hell go. Yeah. Yeah.
Audio.
Yeah, man. He just, even when he was on Detroit, man, I'm not sure a lot of people remember. To me, he was the original. He was Golden Tate before we had Golden Tate. Now, Golden Tate, stat-wise, was a little bit better, but he was the Yak King before Golden Tate got here. That dude was, he was putting up Yak yards, and even though his success wasn't there in Detroit as far as like being that 1,000-yard, consistent 1,000-yard receiver, but man, you could tell like he was a guy that put his all to Detroit. So yeah, man, to this day, Nate Burleson.
You know who I thought it was going to be, though? I know you're a huge fan of Burleson, obviously. I thought you might have chose Barry because, you know, that was the reason why you became a Lions fan.
Yeah. Barry got me. He got me to become a Lions fan, and Barry's a special beast of his own, you know? Yeah. He's a runner that I've never, till this day, and it's crazy because as time goes on, you know, the game evolves, you know, players get faster, you know, more agility, more athletic. Till this day, it's been over 20 years. And I could honestly say I've never seen another running back like Barry Sanders to this day. We could say, oh, Adrian Peterson never, his footwork is nothing like Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that right now. So what Barry Sanders to this day is, he's a special beast on his own. But Nate Burleson, man.
Is he your number two, though?
Barry Sanders, yeah. Barry Sanders would be my number two.
Gotcha.
And it's close, but it's just what Nate Burleson represents and what he brings to. Every time he even talks, good morning football. Every time he talks about Detroit, I mean, like, everything, man. Nate Burleson, man. And Nate, if you're listening, Nate, you know I've been trying to get you on the podcast. So if you could just come on the show, that would be great.
Awesome. All right. Peter, who's your guy, man?
My guy is Calvin Johnson.
Okay, another receiver.
Even though he hates us right now?
Dude, that's like...
I'm just messing with
that's
you.
That's on the lines, bro. You don't ask like a star to pay $1 million back. That's on the lines, to be honest.
It was wrong on their part, man.
Yeah, but you know they came from the Patriots. Bob Quinn doesn't give a shit who you are. That's how they are at New England. So like, whatever. That's a story for another day. But Megatron, dude, like, bro, I remember in the playoffs in 2011, they jammed him like he was like a
punt returner. A gunner.
Yeah, they literally gained him in the red zone like he was a gunner.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I've never seen this.
Yeah.
And I've seen him make like highlight catches, catch over like three dudes, the Bengals game, the Cowboys game. Though his speed at his size is so rare. Like, I've never seen a guy move that big. He's just like an amazing guy too. Like, he was never like a diva. Always humble. Great both on and off the field. Never had issues, you know. Like, most of the time, like, really great wide receivers. Not most of them, but, like, sometimes they become divas. Like, you look at Des Bryant a little. T.O. Chad Johnson.
Randy. Most of them. You can say most
Odell.
Of them.
Odell's kind of a little bit of a diva. A.B. But then you have, like, your A.J. Greens and Julio's. Whatever. Anyways, what I'm trying to say, like, Calvin was, like, the definition of what you want on the field and off the field. He's great, man. In my opinion, he's a top three wide receiver of all time. That's just my opinion, though. I love him, bro.
He's a top three?
Top three wide receiver of all
time. Top three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
I have two guys that are my all-time favorite Lions, and there are guys that were no longer with us as well.
Did we have them on the podcast?
We had one of them on the podcast.
We had one of them.
Not both of them. I have three of them, actually.
Say one.
Oh, that's
actually,
tough.
No, I actually want to hear all three.
All three? Okay.
All right, let's hear
Is Don Mulback one of them?
That's like one of my, like, my joke ones. But yeah,
he's not your favorite line. Okay.
So we've had two on the podcast and one that's never joined the podcast. One of them, Golden Tate. GT is one of my guys, man. I just loved his swagger on the field. And this was kind of more like, I guess, story that was like kind of connected with me. That's kind of cool. So I remember this was back in 2015. I'm going to my cousin's house. Obviously, I was running my Lions Nation account. I wasn't even a full year running the account yet. And I just check my IG. I'm only like at 2K followers, whatever. I check my activity feed. I refresh it, whatever. And I see like 5 minutes ago, Showtime Tate has followed you on Instagram. I'm like, refresh. Like, is this a mistake? Is this a mistake? I click on it. This is a fan account. I see the check mark. I'm like, oh my God, this is Golden Tate. And it was wild, dude. And ever since then, like, he was the first player that ever followed me. So, like, I just had that, like, more love for him ever since then. So, and just, like, the player he was. He gave me my favorite memory as a fan ever was in 2016. Pack the bag, start the plane because this game is over. When he did the little flip in the end zone.
That shit was so funny. You left out the best part of that whole touchdown.
Because this game is over. Or the stiff arm on Harrison Smith.
The stiff arm to Harrison Smith. That made people change his Wikipedia that he was that he was dead, that he died that day. Yeah. They say he died by a vicious stiff arm. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah,
that was a highlight that play.
Wow, that's one of my favorite games of all time. If that is my favorite game of all time. So, I love GC. Just love the swagger on the field. Number two on the list. This is hard, man. Glover Quinn, one of our first big interviews on the podcast, obviously, episode 16 or 17, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he just kind of gave us that break on the podcast where he got us our name out there, essentially. Like, you know, if you guys didn't know about us, we got so many listeners from that interview with Glover Quinn, you know, and he spent a whole hour just talking with us. And right. Not just with us talking, his show on the field, man, he never missed a snap. I mean, he missed one snap and he wanted to be out there, you know. Mm-hmm. It was wild. I love the guy's mentality. I think he's a great person off the field and on the field. He was a great leader. I think he's a guy we've been missing on that field like the last couple of years, you know, since we haven't had him. Love GQ, man. One of my favorite players of all time. And he just brought that it when he came here from Houston in 2014. So, yeah, GQ, GT up there. And then the third guy on this list is Big Play Slay, the guy we just traded, man. Another guy that joined the podcast that kind of gave us our break. But Darius Slay is one of the guys, like, I actually fell in love with him with this work on the field. The other two were kind of like just feel good stories for me because I kind of had stories connected with them. Big Play Slay was the first guy I fell in love, just pure game. Loved him at the cornerback spot. My favorite corner of all time. And one of my favorite lines of all time. I'm not saying he's the best corner of all time, but he's my favorite corner of all time.
I love Slay too, bro.
Just loved his game so much. I loved his mentality in Detroit. Always signing autographs at training camp. You know, just a great guy in person in general. Always right. Visiting high school games. Just a great guy. You know, I can't. That's all I could say about him. You know, and I remember this was recently before we traded him. I went to a high school basketball game in the wintertime this year, and I was at Roseville, and I go to a basketball game. Darius Slay's there. I'm like, "What up, Slay?" I'm like, "You remember me?" And he goes, "Bro, yeah, I know who you are." He said, "You're the podcast." And I'm like, "Well, shit." But like that just like grew it even more. But like. It was not even just like his personality. It's just his game in general. So yeah, Darius Slay is definitely on that list. Those three, yeah, my favorites of all time. And you know, I'm kind of sad that none of them are on the team anymore. But you know, those are the kind of guys that like really got me into this team and that you know make me love this team so much. But
those three guys you named, I love those guys too, man. Yeah. All those like Darius Slay. You guys know I did not want to trade him. Like you guys know this for a fact.
It was hard, man. It was hard.
It was hard, but like at some point you got to kind of realize the business side of things and like the personal relationship and stuff. It just wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, it was just done. I mean, Darius Slay. I'll say this: Darius Slay, personality wise, is the coolest guy in the NFL.
For real.
Personality wise, NFL. Yeah. He's the coolest guy in the league. He's a cool. I'm talking about this dude.
He's a kid at heart, man.
He's a cool ass dude, man.
Yeah, and like I have a memorabilia collection just Darius Slay. Like, just Darius Slay. I have, like, a bobblehead. I got a signed big helmet, mini helmet. I have so many signed photos of him. Like, he's my favorite player. They call it a PC and autograph, personal collection. Darius Slay is my guy. I won't sell anything that's Darius Slay related.
You know, I wish you guys would have, I mean, was able to see Dre Bly play. I don't think you guys witnessed
it. I didn't really get to see. I know who he is, obviously.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I didn't see him play. Yeah, man. Man, oh, man.
Yeah,
he talking about talent at corner. I think from what I witnessed of being a fan of Detroit, probably the best corner that we had in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, best corner.
Obviously not counting like Night Train Lane or anything like that.
No. I didn't even see Night Train Lane play, so I'm not counting that. I'm talking about from what I witnessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any
take him under his like belt? Didn't like Dre, because I remember when Slate came in the league, or the second year after, he started like training with him, right, in Georgia or something like that.
Did he trade with Dre Bly? I'm not sure.
He traded with a former Lion, I mean like a legend Lion corner. I don't know if it was Dre Bly or if it was.
I don't remember. But Dre Bly, his, like, pick six. That's all he. This dude, like, when he got a pick, he'll take it to the house.
I know, he held it with one hand.
Yep. That's what he did, bro. When he held that ball, like, he'll hold it one hand, and then, like, he'll do this thing that he'll put his hand up. And when he did that, that means touchdown. Like, it was great. It was fun to watch. He had a lot of pick sixes in Detroit, man. I actually have a bonus question.
Okay.
And this is just something that happened randomly. It happened a couple days ago. And I actually had some interaction on my Twitter because of this. Wow. Will was right. this is regarding Reggie Wayne.
Oh, me and Peter were just talking about this.
So Reggie Wayne, and this happened, looked like, in 2015, that he got let go from the Colts, and then Detroit wanted to pick him up. They wanted to work him out. And then his response was, work out? You guys are Detroit. Well, they work out. What the hell are you talking about? But then he goes out ahead and works out with New England. And his response to that is because he did it because of Bill Belichick. What do you guys think on that? Did you guys like get offended of that? Like, as a fan, like, the guy, like,
we haven't won. We haven't won. Reggie Wayne is a great receiver all time. He's been a great receiver for the Colts for a long time. But, you know, I was kind of shocked that, like, Detroit just came off an 11-5 season.
Exactly, know? Exactly.
And he knew Jim Caldwell, because, you know, he was obviously with him in Indy.
Yeah,
exactly. So, it is kind of a shot to Caldwell. I mean, I wouldn't say to Lions fans, but to Caldwell, like, you know, he just came off 11-5 off his rookie year, and, you know, you're just going to shoot it down. You know, I mean, who are you, you know? Like, if they want to work you out to see how you are, I mean, like you mentioned himself, he played, what, 14, 15 years?
And then on top of that,
we want to see you.
didn't he retire, like, maybe, like, 2 weeks after that because his health couldn't hold up?
Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't know.
I know he signed with New England. After his workout, he signed with New England. And then, like, within, like, 2 or 3 weeks, he retired.
Yeah, you remember how Peter was mentioning divas for wide receivers?
Yeah.
Kind of, like, gives me, like, that little strike. I usually don't like to call out players like that, but, like, now, that's just disrespect.
Now, check this out, guys. And this is some juicy stuff. I went on my Twitter, and I was really upset about that. And I wasn't, like, upset, but I was like, you know, Reggie Wayne, I respect the hell out of his game. You know, in the Colts, when he had, you know, Peyton and what he's able to do with, you know, just in the Colts in general, man, I really respect his game.
Yeah, great career.
Great career. Hell yeah. I actually took a little offense to that as far as being a fan. And I look at that like a jab to, like, not only the organization, it was like a jab to the city, a jab to like you're Detroit. Like, you know, I think it takes like a special type of toughness for a player to want to come to Detroit and accept that challenge. So I did take a little offense to it. And actually, I never really tweet to players, but I actually tweeted him. And it was funny because he actually replied back. I told him that he kind of, I told him, I said, Reggie Wayne, you lost me as a fan, man. And I kind of worded it that way, but I should have worded it differently. I should have said that I lost a little respect for you as, like, you know, as a player that you were because of that. But yeah, he wrote back, man, and he was saying his words. He kind of put me in my place the way he said it. He says, "Listen, pimp." That's how you start it off. Listen, pimp. When he said that, like, I was like, damn, man, he's about to put me to shit right now, yo. He said, listen, pimp, if that comment is what made you lose me as a fan, you need to really ask yourself, were you really a fan in the first place? And I agree with him. And the reason why I say that is because I worded differently. I wasn't really a fan of the Colts, so it's not like I cheered for him, like, oh, Colts, go Reggie Wayne. Not like that, but I respect the hell out of this guy as far as what he did on the field. Going on to the rest of the message. He says, think about all the time you said your favorite team sucks. No matter the sport, sucks or stinks. Should they say to you, don't cheer for them anymore? And he left it as that.
I think it seemed like he was kind of implying you're a Colts fan in that tweet a little bit. Like,
he took it, and I get it, because he probably, the way I worded it, I said, because the way, when I retweeted the whole thing of him saying what he said about Detroit. And I put on the top as a comment, a retweet, I said, you lost me as a fan, Reggie Wayne. And that's why he came back and said, you know, all that stuff. So yeah. I worded it incorrectly because, no, I'm not a Colts fan. You know, I didn't cheer for him every Sunday. You know, he's just a guy like, I look at him like DeAndre Hopkins. Like DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I respect his game. I think he's a hell of a player. But it's just like if DeAndre Hopkins, if they wanted to work out DeAndre Hopkins and then DeAndre Hopkins said, I'm not working with you guys. You got the Lions. I'll lose respect for him too. So I should have said, you know, I lost some respect from you for your comments like that, because I think it was a jab at the city. I think it was a jab at the team. Yeah. And I think it was a jab at the fans. And then that's the way I took it, because like I said, it takes a certain toughness. Nate Burleson, free agent, wanting to come to Detroit. Mike Daniels, free agent, wanting to come to Detroit. I think it takes a certain toughness to want to go to a team and face the challenges that comes with it.
Yeah, I think the only reason I take a little offense to it is because they came off a very successful season, 11-5, and he knows Jim Caldwell. If it was something like now, if like DeAndre Hopkins honestly said that right now about the Lions, about Matt Patricia, I wouldn't
think because he'll have every reason, because look at all the stuff that's coming out about Jim Caldwell, about Matt Patricia.
Yeah, like, you know how we just mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. I don't take offense to that, honestly, because like we have no resume right now.
313.
No. So, but yeah, Reggie Wayne, you know, 11-5 season, knows Caldwell. Yeah, it's a little offensive. I won't lie. What do you think, Peter?
Honestly, I don't give a shit. He was 36 years old at the time. Like, I'm being serious. He was 36 years old, and he didn't even end up playing for the Patriots. So, I honestly don't care, bro.
Yeah, he retired 2 days after.
If I'm him, too, I would have chased the ring, too. I would have signed with the contender. And the Lions at the time, they lost Sue, right? That's when they lost Sue. That year.
Yeah, but they look filthy still, man. I mean, year two of Caldwell, that was the highest I've ever been on the Lions, I think.
I mean, yeah. I would have chased like a contender, like the Patriots have always been contenders. Who else was a contender?
No. But his thing was we asked him to work out. I guess in his mind was what he was saying in that interview is that
you guys have
14 years of tape
for
you to sign me. You're the Lions. So you're pretty much saying, like, you're the worst team in the world. I don't need me to work out for you guys. You guys should be knocking on my door and begging for me to come to your team.
Like I said, I don't really care. He's 36 years old. I'm not going to take an offense with a 36-year-old wide receiver not wanting to work out for me. Good for you, bro. Go sign with whoever you want. I really don't care. If it was, like, maybe, like, 28, 27, 28-ish, you ask him, he says no. He's 36, bro. With whatever he was. He was old as hell. He was like declining.
He didn't play that year, so yeah, it doesn't bother me that much. I just think it's a comment. It was the comments that was just like, come on, dude. We shouldn't beg you to play for us.
Blame the guy, though? Like, before that 11-5 year, how were we? Like, seriously.
The Detroit Lions were the Detroit Lions.
This was a new regime. I mean, 11-5 with a new head coach. I mean, that looks appealing as hell. We were mentioning the Packers, Matt LaFleur's first year. Let's say the Packers had a shit history, but Matt LaFleur goes 13-3. Yes, I want to play for the Packers. I mean, obviously not me because I hate the Packers. But if I'm a player in the league, you know,
you better not play for the Packers.
No, F the Packers. But I'm just saying in general, bro. 11-5 season, Jim Caldwell. You know the guy. That is offensive a little bit, especially to Caldwell, man. He doesn't deserve that.
I don't care, to be honest.
Whatever. I mean, screw Reggie.
I don't really care.
He's not in the league anymore.
No. I'm not even gonna say screw Reggie Wayne, man. I mean, he is what he is, man. He had a hell of a career. It is what it is, man. I just took a jab to it. Like, I feel like he just like caught me with a hook with that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't take any offense to it personally as a fan. I took it more as offensive as Caldwell, but whatever. Let's wrap this up. All right, guys. That is a wrap. Episode 103 of the Pride Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this mailbag and some bonus about Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne, if you want to come on the podcast and defend yourself, hey, you know, let's talk it up a little. Let's do it.
You can call us all pips, man.
Yeah. Let's do it. I'm down for that. All right, guys. I'm Tyler. And I'm signing out.
All right, guys, before I let you go, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all the support. Hope you are all staying safe, and I am out. Peace.
All right, y'all, it's your boy Malcolm. You already know what it is, man. Leave them voicemails. You know, leave them reviews. That, if you want to leave a voicemail, that number is 313-355-3116. And I am out. Peace.